Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Merry Christmas, WGN.
841, ready for some holiday music oddities? Nobody knows more about music than the host of a really terrific podcast called Rare and Scratchy Rock and Roll, featuring the greatest rock and roll stories on record, untold tales, and the man who has this humongous groove yard is with us this morning, David Milberg. Radio Dave. How you doing, Dave?
Good. I'm rocking along here in the COVID-free paradise called Pelican Cove, Sarasota.
Lucky you. Lucky you. Well,
We're very careful here. Even our computers wear masks.
I hope so. Let's get right to it. You've assembled some really interesting, I call them holiday music oddities. Let's start with the Bon Jovi Christmas collection. Tell us this story.
Well, John Bon Jovi is this 18-year-old kid running around New York City, and he wants to be a rock star. Good news for him, he's got an uncle who owns a recording studio called The Power Station. And his uncle's working with this guy named Mico Minardo, who's been making these disco versions of Star Wars songs. And they get permission right after The Empire Strikes Back. They get permission from George Lucas to do a Christmas CD based on the Star Wars theme, and they need a lead singer to sing on these things. So who do they get? They get this 18-year-old kid named Tony Bon Jovi, or John Bon Jovi, and he comes and he sings this lead on all these songs in this album. It was called the Christmas in the Stars, a Star Wars Christmas album, number 51 on the albums chart on Billboard in 1980, but they had a hit single, too, and I think you've got a snippet of it. What can you get a Wookiee for Christmas when he already has a comb?
Here it is.
What can you get a Wookiee for Christmas when he already owns a comb?
Oh, this sounds really bad.
What can you get in a hurry for a furry kind of friend like that? Take home.
Man, I never heard that one before. That's a good one.
Well, it was playing on the radio, but maybe not where you were. That one peaked at number 69 on Billboard's Hot 100 in 1980.
All right, let's get to the James Bond movie Christmas record collection. Tell us about this.
Well, the year was 1969. Remember George Lazenby?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. He did one, right?
He did one, and the co-stars in that one were kind of interesting. Diana Rigg, remember her, the late Diana Rigg?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he marries her in that one, and then she gets killed by Telly Savalas playing the bad guy Ernst Blofeld. But throughout the movie, there's a song being sung by a German singer named Nina, and she sings, "Do you know how Christmas trees are grown?" This was throughout the movie, and I believe you have a sample of that right there all queued up.
This was actually in the film?
This was in the film. This was in the soundtrack.
Here it is.
Do you know how Christmas trees are grown? They need sunshine. Sunshine can't grow Christmas trees alone.
Not exactly what you usually associate with James Bond, is it?
No, you really don't, but that was in there. And Jackie DeShannon, remember her?
Oh, yeah, of course.
She had a 45 RPM version of that one, and it was a failed 45, too. It didn't quite make it.
The most played Christmas song of all time is one we've all heard, but you have an interesting backstory on this. Tell us about it, David.
Well, it's little known that this song played a role in the Civil Rights Movement. We're going back to the late 1940s, and a lot of the record labels would sort of segregate their black artists. They would call them, in fact, those kind of records were called race records by many people in those days. And one of the things that the big record companies didn't do is they didn't provide string sections for their black artists. They didn't want to spend the money. They didn't think they were worth it. So we get to 1946, and Nat Cole and his trio record the original version of the most played Christmas song of all time. Well, eventually it became that, Chestnuts Roasting, the Christmas song, and there's no violins in there. And Nat Cole went to the people who were running Capitol Records and said, hey, this isn't right. I want some strings. So they recut the record and added some strings, and I believe you have both versions there, so you can play the samples and show the differences.
This is the original one here.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
And now here is the other version you were talking about. Oh yeah, this is the one we like.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
That's the winner. David Milberg with us. He's got this great podcast, Rare and Scratchy Rock and Roll, and we'll get to three Christmas classics, signature songs by very famous performers that were initially flops. That's coming up in a moment.
Merry Christmas, Chicago.
Holiday Music Oddities from our friend Dave Milberg, who hosts an excellent podcast, Rare and Scratchy Rock and Roll, featuring the greatest rock and roll stories, untold tales from his massive grooveyard that has virtually every song worth having, in Dave's opinion. Let's talk about these failed 45s, David.
Okay. We'll start with Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. Now, you hear that one everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the perennial Christmas hit that almost wasn't. It was released in 1958 and reissued in 1959. Most radio stations didn't want to play it.
Why?
They didn't like it. They thought that little Brenda Lee was too young. She was 13 when she recorded it. Finally, in 1960, radio stations started playing it, and it became a giant hit. And interestingly, the guitar player on that one is a guy named Hank Garland, who's also the same lead guitar player on Bobby Helms' Jingle Bell Rock.
Here you go.
The same folks were working on that one.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop.
So it was released in 58 and then reissued a year later, right?
Right, and nobody wanted to play it.
Now let's go on to Elvis and another, well, we think of this as a Christmas classic today, don't we?
Oh, we sure do. Everybody associates it with Elvis Presley. It's one of his trademark tunes or signature songs, as we used to say in the day. He didn't do the original one. A country singer named Doya Odell did in 1948, and it had some different introductory lyrics, and it had a religious connotation and all that sort of good stuff. But when Elvis Presley's version came out, it was on an LP in 1957, and they put out a single, but the single didn't make the Billboard charts until 1964. It took 7 years for it to become a hit record.
I thought this was an instant classic, but I guess not. Probably one of the most popular songs of the season of all time. 50 years ago, it came out. And what happened when Feliciano did this originally, Dave?
Well, we all played it on the radio. I know you were playing it.
Everybody played it every year. It. Everybody did.
Yeah. But Billboard never gave it a hit music ranking.
Why?
And I can't figure that out. It took them a number of years. It took them decades. And it wasn't until 1998 that Billboard decided that Feliz Navidad was a hit record.
Boy, and was it ever.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Feliz Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad.
That was a nice feature on Feliciano Sunday morning on CBS. Did you happen to see it, Dave, where he told the story of getting the idea to do something in Spanish because there wasn't a lot of crossover hit music of this kind, especially holiday music, at the time, was there?
No, there wasn't, and he certainly was a groundbreaker. Mm-hmm. There had been some earlier Christmas hits in Spanish, including Donde Este Santa Claus.
Only you would know that, Dave. 50s. Only you'd know that.
But he certainly was a groundbreaker, and a great. I just love his stuff.
Now, when we hear White Christmas, as we do every year, is it the original version, or is it one that was redone years later?
They had to do it. You're usually hearing the one that was redone because they wore out the original. And that was before the days of audio tape.
What do you mean?
They couldn't make any more copies.
What do you mean they wore it out?
It was recorded in 1942.
they ruined it?
Yeah. And it was the B-side of another record. Bing thought it was a horrible song and didn't even want to sing it. Thought it was a disaster. They buried it on the B-side of another one of his 78 singles. And it was actually recorded in May 1942, and for the Holiday Inn film that year, and it became very popular among soldiers overseas who reminded them of home.
So
and, the rest is history.
This version that we're going to hear a little bit of right now, which version is this?
Well, I've given you two versions. One is the original.
Okay, let's listen.
We cleaned up. My staff here cleaned it up a little bit. We got some scratches out.
All right,
and then
wait.
The later one.
Here you go with the original one. Bing Crosby and White Christmas. That one was 1942. That's when this was recorded.
That's right.
Okay, and then was it 5 years later, the new one?
Four and a half, 5 years later.
Okay.
They redid it, and that's the one you hear on the radio from 1947.
Comes through a little clearer on that one. It's Dave Milberg, and if you want more stories about all kinds of music, you can check out the podcast. How do people find that, Dave?
All they have to do is Google Rare and Scratchy Rock and Roll or Rare and Scratchy. I'm on iTunes. I'm on Google. I'm on Spotify. I'm on Amazon. It's free. It's commercial free. And you star in episode number 70. I know your listeners are going to want to check that out. That's one of our most popular editions.
Well, may you have a white Christmas yourself, although in Florida, I don't think so. But happy Yuletide just the same. Great talking to you, Dave.
Thanks, Bob. Have a super hit holiday season and a solid gold new year.